If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Another day, another end of season deep dive for you this week. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we're looking back at season 3 of Southern Hospitality, which wrapped up its banner third season on Thursday with an explosive finale and a very solid reunion afterwards. Though if you ask me, that reunion could have and actually kind of should have been two parts, much less in a full studio setting and not just on the Watch What Happens Live set. But that's neither here nor there, because beggars cannot be choosers. So to help me break it all down, we have Sam Bush returning to the pod. Sam is at Bravo Historian on Instagram. She hosts a podcast on Patreon called Chronically Online, and she is just one of the most direct, hilarious voices in the space, and I always love our chats about all things Bravo, so I was thrilled to have her back on the show. We're both huge fans of Southern Hospitality, so it was great to discuss everything that we saw this season with Sam. Before we get into that, though, I guess we should mention the biggest news of the week so far on Bravo, which is that Tamara Judge posted that she was quitting The Real Housewives of Orange County, which is in the middle of filming its upcoming season. The cast was on a trip to New Orleans, and she posted late at night that it was a long run. When life gives you real problems, this reality shit doesn't make sense. Peace out. I'm out. The next day, she then posted a selfie from the airport with one of those Instagram story stickers that said mental health is health. And then Taste of Reality, which is a great account on Instagram, go follow them. She reposted that, a screenshot of that, and she asked in the caption, is Tamara quitting? And she wrote in the comments, yes, with 3 exclamation points. So she was doubling down on the fact that she was quitting the show. And then the morning after Tamara posted that original Instagram story, Andy was on Radio Andy, where he was asked about it. And he said, I guess the only thing that was top of mind is that one of her best friends, if not her best friend, is going through an incredibly intense health crisis. So maybe keep that in mind. Otherwise, I really don't have anything to say on the subject. He said, I got a report of what happened last night. All I will say is this. I can't comment on what's going on while we're filming shows. So I think it was very apt that he brought up what's going on with Teddy. I mean, literally, Teddy posted the other day that they found 5 tumors in her brain and lungs. So what's going on with Teddy is fucking real. It's serious. It's incredibly hard for anyone to go through. And the people in her life, I'm sure, are also very much going through it, trying to, you know, stay strong for her and all that. And Tamara is a very good friend of Teddy's. They've become extremely close since doing the podcast together. They're business partners. So they are very close. And so, you know what, like that's really important to keep in mind as we talk about this. Then The Sun, which is take it with a grain of salt, they ran a report quoting a production source who told them, Tamara quit in the middle of the New Orleans trip with the girls. It was just after filming an emotional scene that turned into a heated discussion and then a shouting match with Gretchen and Shannon. Ultimately, Tamara can dish it, but she can't take it, which longtime viewers well know. She's overreacting and throwing a tantrum like a child because she isn't getting her way. And then the person also said that she's seeking attention and it looks like she's gotten it. She said she's done for good before, but if the money is right, she will be back. And I mean, it's also no surprise that it apparently has to do with, again, if you believe this source, this production source telling a UK tabloid randomly about what was going on, it's no surprise that it also involves Gretchen, who is obviously back on the show this season as a friend. And her and Tamra have a long history together that goes all the way back to season four. As recently as last year, Gretchen was still not mincing words when it came to Tamra. She said, at one point, in my opinion, she is evil, manipulative, and conniving. I saw exactly who she was back then and was never afraid to call her out. I believe the only thing she was ever loyal to is her paycheck. She will destroy your character, your livelihood, your business under the guise of claiming she is a truth teller. It's gross and not okay. So obviously, no love lost between them. So it's not surprising that it apparently has to do with Gretchen and sort of her taking it to Tamra. And then since then, Tamra's been posting all these sort of like inspirational quotes on her Instagram story, and she's been posting from therapy. And my two cents on it is that, like, you know, the immediate reaction to this was like gleeful online, and people were saying good riddance, get her off the show, it's about time, we won't miss her, all those kind of things. And people are very entitled to feel that way. But for me, it's like, she is the reason why The Real Housewives of Orange County is in the form that it's in. There's a reason why things worked so well last season. And yeah, it's the best it's been in years. She has ushered in this new era, point blank period. It's obviously an ensemble show and everyone pulls their weight on this cast, but she helped right the ship two seasons ago when she came back, and last season it really came to fruition. And while I think that a season without Tamra could still be solid with this great cast, it wouldn't be as good. Nobody else pushes the issue like she does. And of course, her delivery and her tactics are often really abrasive and polarizing and a little too harsh, of course. Like, I'm not going to excuse that. And what she did last year to Shannon was pretty inexcusable at some points, but ultimately it resulted in a great show. So you have to take some of that to have the show be good. And, you know, especially if you consider, though, that Shannon could have easily quit the show many times last season, and it would have made sense and people would have like understood, like considering everything that she was up against. She never quit the show. She battled it. She pushed through it. She never even really took a break from filming, from what you know about. So I get that comparison. Like, Shannon put up with so much from Tamra in particular, but that doesn't negate that, like, what Tamra can be going through this season is also difficult considering what's going on with Teddy, and which is a very real thing. So they aren't mutually exclusive by any means, but, like, I don't know, like, I do hope the other women are taking it to Tamra this season. She deserves it. She deserves to be held accountable. She deserves to have things brought up in her life that, you know, are similar to things she brings up in other people's lives. Like, again, taste of her own medicine, right? But the show needs her. And I hope that, like, this is just her reacting out of instinct in the moment and just leaving the trip. Maybe she's taking a break a la Kyle Richards this past season of Beverly Hills when she took a break from filming for a week. But I really, really hope that Tamra's back. I hope that this is just another one of her moments where she threatens to quit the show. Again, she's done it before. She did it on that Bali trip back in the day. But I really hope this is a temporary threat. And again, Andy mentioning Teddy, I think that's really important to keep in mind. It's very real, and it's not a storyline, and I think it's easily lost in the sauce when we're reacting sort of in the moment to her Instagram stories. And like Tamra is a very dramatic person. Like, she probably wants this reaction. You know what I mean? Like, it's maybe this is even leverage for her to like get some sort of different treatment from production or something. I don't know. She knows what she's doing. So, you know, I'm not trying to be like too overly sympathetic to her, but at the same time, yeah, I hope that this is not what she's actually going to go through with. I'm sure people will respond to me saying, have a little compassion for Tamra, as, well, she should have had compassion for Shannon. And you're absolutely right. She should have had more compassion for Shannon last season. And I was saying that on my podcast as last season was airing. Again, not mutually exclusive. All right. That's where I am right now with the Tamra of it all. And I hope we see her back filming very soon. Anyway, I'll have more Housewives chat for you on Friday's episode about Beverly Hills and Atlanta. But for now, enjoy my end of season deep dive for season 3 of Southern Hospitality with Sam Bush. Check out her Instagram at Bravo Historian and check out her podcast Chronically Online on Patreon. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll see you on Friday. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Sam Bush, aka Bravo historian, aka the host of Chronically Online. Today we're talking all about Southern Hospitality, which just finished airing its third season. And for me, for a little bit there, it was my favorite show airing on Bravo. Like, it was just the moment for me. It was what I looked forward to the most. And Sam, I feel like it's the perfect person to have on to talk about all the mess that we got. Sam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, we're chugging along. We're surviving.
We're surviving.
I'm not sure we're thriving surviving. Yet. I'm like waiting for spring to thrive, but you know.
Well, right now we're like in this in between where I feel like it's like a fake out.
Yeah.
Where yeah, I'm oh, like, yeah. It's is fake it getting spring. Warmer? But like, it's probably going to snow.
I took the words out of my mouth. I'm sure we'll get one more snow, which is just gorgeous. You know, like I have like the big bag where I keep all my bigger coats where I'm like, I want to put that under my bed, but I'm not there yet.
I'm ready to set fire to my puffer coat. Like, I look at that bitch with, like, disdain.
Oh.
I'm like...
Terrible. I hate horrible. That bitch. So, Southern Hospitality, you were just loving it as much as I was, I'm assuming.
Loving.
Yeah. Loving. And were you a season one watcher, or were you late to the game on Southern Hospitality?
I watched season one. Like, okay, I remember meeting Grace Sully for the first time and just thinking...
And how could you forget?
Who is this? Like, where did they find her?
Wavy baby.
I love her. And I also, like, I loved Maddie right away, too. There's just, like, something so, like, I don't know, really endearing and, like, warm about Maddie that I really love. And Joey Bottles. Like, I do remember, I think it was season one... I think what got me hooked was when Maddie met, I think, Trevor outside and they like drove off in a pedicab together. And I was like, whoa, I love this.
It's that kind of like down lowness that like they have as 23 and 24 year olds or whatever. And like that's again, and I think we'll get into this a little bit later, but like that's what gives it the like it's a different kind of that vibe that Vanderpump Rules had, but it still had like. They live in like not very nice places.
No, they're giving vertical blinds.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Vertical blinds.
Vertical blind energy.
Yes. That is the perfect way to encapsulate it. And yes, exactly. Obviously, season one, like I feel like we probably both saw the promise. Season two, I think it ratcheted it up a little bit more. But season three, like it just feels like it was in every direction. There was something happening. And like every episode, honestly, was like pretty damn good. Like there was something, there was tea dropping all the time. I just felt like it all was coming into place this season. Like the common thing is like, don't sleep on XYZ show for Bravo fans. And like, this was that show for a little bit. And like, finally, like, I feel like what we were probably preaching and praying and saying came to fruition.
Yeah. We manifested.
Yeah.
We honestly manifested. And I don't know if it was like the Joe Bradley Luann thing that got people kind of like, wait, who is this? Like,
I mean, it had to have helped.
It had to have helped because it's honestly iconic. Like, he fucked Luann and that... no, Luann fucked Joe Bradley.
Yeah, that's...
That's how that worked.
Yes.
But I'm so happy people are loving it. And I've been seeing a lot of people being like, why is it, like, such a short season? And I'm like, I hope next season we get a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I feel like... We could have gotten a couple more episodes out of them for sure. Like there was enough there. And then the fact that I guess it was a supersized reunion, but it was at Wash Happens Live and it was only one part. And I'm like, I could have gotten at least two parts out of this group, I feel like.
For sure. Like,
yeah.
Especially with the news that Maddie got the night before.
The yeah.
But God, being in that clubhouse with all those people, I was claustrophobic.
It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people
and a lot of personalities. Like, yes. It's a lot.
It's almost one of those groups where it's sort of like what they did on The Traitors and what they do on Housewives, which is like, maybe like some of the people should be technically friends of so that we can bring them in like halfway through, you know? So like there's a little bit less. Because there is with this group, like they're still fairly new to this whole thing. So they try to like assert themselves, right. You know, and they try to like yell over each other. And they're all like on those chairs, like kind of like leaning over, being like,
yeah, those big bar stools.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yes. Yes. All right. So before we get into the Will and Emmy of it all, let's touch on some of the other storylines that we got this season. Joe and Maddie finally dating. I was kind of worried that it was going to feel like unbalanced or unnatural or forced, like for the show. You know what I mean? Now that she wasn't with Trevor. But like, I kind of dig them together. Like, I think that like, I think about that moment where he got the concussion at Lake's house and she was like genuinely very worried for him. It was really cute. So that it made me realize that like maybe it was taking her longer to warm up to like the fact that she was dating her best friend. But like I kind of netted out of like being into them as a couple.
I was into them as a couple. I do worry, obviously, because I think Maddie is like such a free spirit and she loves Joe, and Joe obviously is obsessed with her and has loved her for so long that I do worry that he's going to like hold on too tight, that it like makes her like want to run away. So I hope he kind of like pulls back a bit and just like lets her be. Also, get a car.
Get a car. Yeah, I don't understand that. Charleston's also a driving city. Like, get a car. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is a driving city, right? Like, this isn't really walkable.
Yeah, and a lot of them live, like, across the bridge where she lives. Like, it's like,
right.
Yeah.
So that was confusing. And also, to Maddie's point, she was like, you don't have to come here every day. Like, it's okay. Like, we can have time apart.
It's almost like he's, like, so excited the fact that, like, they're, like, his dream is finally happening with her. And, like, I do think that... I forget who brought it up or where, but like, there's obviously that fear that like she'll outgrow Charleston, that her career will continue to take off. And like, he'll either like try to follow her around the country at her various like DJ dates, or like, as you sort of said, like try to like hold her back a little bit. I don't think he would hold her back. He just has to make sure that like he actually genuinely is like building something for himself and not like,
right.
But I guess like them as reality stars, in some ways, they will be growing in the same direction if they like if this continues, if the train continues for Soho. So, like, I don't know. I feel two ways about it.
Yeah, I don't think he'll hold her back like professionally. I mean, more of like I worry that he'll constantly be putting maybe some pressure and like
got it.
You know, worried like that she's traveling too much and like I don't know. But I hope. It works out. I also have to remind myself how young they all are.
I know.
I'm used to watching like mid-20s. Southern Charm and like Summer House where like everyone's 45. So this is like, oh, we're in our early 20s.
Yeah. Okay. We're at the point that those shows were when they started. You know what I mean? Where they were mid to late 20s. Some of them are early 20s. Now they're in the 30s and 40s.
But like, yeah.
Maybe we'll end up getting there with Southern Hospitality. You know, knock on wood, we do get there.
I hope so.
I'm also really curious if there's sort of like a long tail effect of the reveal that Will and Emmy did the night before the reunion about basically these group texts that show that Trevor never actually cheated on Maddie, despite like Bradley bringing this girl in last season who had this proof that he did, and them all knowing that he didn't actually cheat on her, but they still went forward with this like as a storyline. I'm curious if that has like an effect on her in some way. Like that has to like somehow kind of like fuck with your head a little bit.
Oh, for sure, because she was down bad for Trevor.
It was embarrassing.
Like, Joe has Maddie has Trevor. Like she
so true
was down bad for him. And if I was down bad for a man like that and I found out he actually didn't cheat on me, I'd be like, wait, fuck. Like, what? It's confusing, you know? Because I think she knows Joe is probably better for her. But when you're in your early 20s, hell,
you want the
when
bad
you're
boy.
In your early 30s, you kind of
say that.
You make bad decisions, you know?
Listen, you picked the wrong guy. You picked the guy who's driving the pedicab, you know?
Exactly. And at least he had wheels.
That's that's true. He had a way
Joe
to get around.
Doesn't even have that.
I'm picturing Trevor like riding that pedicab all the way to Maddie's house. It would take him like 5 hours.
I'll never forget my pedicab experience in New York City after BravoCon.
What was that?
I couldn't walk anymore because my shoes were hurting my feet.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't make it to the hotel, but it's too close that like an Uber or something would be pointless. I saw a pedicab outside and I said, throw me on one of those. And he was playing LMFAO. And I said, let's ride.
Of course.
And he had like the lights on it. And I was like, oh,
you know, Sam, I've always wondered who takes those pedicabs. And now I know.
Me.
Yeah. Now I know. Women whose feet hurt after BravoCon. Yes.
Yeah. But it was like, I didn't want to drive. I don't want to get
when the occasion calls for it, it calls for it. And you can't deny it.
Absolutely.
Right.
The weather was great for a pedicab.
We mentioned Joe and Luann. But there's also Joe and Danielle. I feel like it's what gets sort of lost in that in that thing is that like he wasn't fully with Danielle maybe, but like, so there might have been some overlap in that. But like the crossover, I do think, I think that really got people into the fold. And I feel like I really think it elevated this group in some ways. Like it got them into the
for sure.
Not the C level headline, not the B level headline. Sometimes it was the A level headline, you know, which
yeah,
is
I mean,
that's good for a new show.
Luann's like a big dog at Bravo. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like he slept with like, I don't know, who Jules from Summer House, like right. from that one season. Like he fucked Luann.
Yeah.
And because also the drama of it being Danielle was in the audience at that Watch Happens Live. Like it's just,
yeah,
you can't make it up. It's
you
great.
Can't make it up.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff like a full court pickup game swish to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in, and for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
So the other thing that I really love about this show, there's very natural diversity of varying degrees and different kind of columns. And it feels just like it's sort of the reality of these people that work at Republic. And like this, it results in like some really great moments this season. We had Michaels, who I think kind of drove a lot of that. Like him and TJ had some really great conversations, which led to sort of like TJ and Joe having a really kind of groundbreaking conversation on TV. Honestly, like for Joe to participate in that conversation, I think was really actually kind of brave of him. We also got some great scenes with Lake and Michaels, like on that double date. Like I don't think we ever seen something like that before on Bravo. Like it just felt like some of like the discussions about queerness and race and being in the South and how that all sort of commingles just felt like really new for Bravo in a way that like didn't feel heavy handed or forced, which I think was really key to making it work.
I totally agree. It was really refreshing. And it, like you said, it didn't feel heavy handed at all. Like it felt really natural to have these conversations, and it felt like everyone was like a really willing participant to talk about it.
Yeah.
And having Michaels meet with his like stepdad was really great, you know, and the stepdad was basically like, yeah, your mom was fucking crazy and horrible. And then the conversation with Joe at the reunion, like really, really shook me because he was so open and was just willing to have this talk because he's like, I recognize how important it is. And I was like, wow. This is really...
Jax Taylor could never have a conversation like that.
Jax Taylor, please. Are you kidding? Tom Sandoval couldn't have this conversation. Like,
totally.
No one could have this type of conversation. I remember there was like kind of rumors about Carl and Steven. Like Steven brought something up once, and like it was kind of shut down because it was more of just like, fuck Steven for bringing something like that up. So we never really got to have that kind of conversation. But this was really nice.
That's actually a really good through line because it's a similar dynamic, which is like we have this openly gay guy on the cast who like is purporting to have had some kind of one-off experience with a guy who presents as straight. And like, I think that it reflects that it's a different generation of people that we're watching, honestly. Mm-hmm. And like, it is sort of like the Gen Z Vanderpump Rules. And I mean that actually in like a really complimentary way where it's like they've progressed as a generation and like, you know, it just feels natural. And I just like love that. And I think I just think that Joe is like this, like he's almost like compulsively honest. Like I think that's what makes him like a really good reality star. Like even his even in his confessionals, I'm like, well, why did you just say that? Like so sometimes I'm just sort of like, dude,
it's
like,
refreshing.
But it's great, and it makes him a good mm-hmm. person on TV, and for him to, and I think it lends itself well to the situation with TJ, where it's like, and I feel like he handled it pretty damn well, which is like, he didn't want to minimize like whatever it meant to TJ, because clearly TJ's mm-hmm. been in love with Joe for like a little bit of time now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. I think that it was emotional, and like Joe just handled it pretty well, even if him and TJ aren't in a good place right now.
Yeah. I think that was something really important too, is like, they're not in the best place, but Joe still was able to have that conversation. And also Michael's talking about how like some straight men like gay bait and like kiss you on the neck and like, you know, and then he's like, it's just, there's this weird line and it's confusing.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the South, it's probably.
Oh my God. I experienced that at I went to Michigan. Like, I experienced that all the time at Michigan. It was like these drunk frat boys who like mm-hmm. think it's cool to like kind of drape around the gay guy at the bar, and like it sends a mixed signal, you know? And like, as a person who's like struggling with your own identity, like you almost put more emphasis or meaning on those interactions because like that's all you're getting. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, I think that was a really relatable thing for them to open up about. Michaels and Lake in general to me were like just like such great, refreshing additions. Like, I think that sometimes mm-hmm. Lake felt really young to me in this group, and like Michaels is also very young, but he seems very mature. I mean, he's literally all their boss. He runs shit at Republic. He's like 21 years old. Molly too, like, I loved her, like,
oh yeah,
fun, no bullshit vibe. Like, they did a good job of like, because they let some people go after last season, right? Like, they let mm-hmm. Oshin go. We had that,
thank God.
Lucia was there, who didn't really bring much to the show. Like, I think she got fired last season. So like, they did a good job of like injecting some new blood here too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And Lake having that conversation with Andy, being like, why do we have to come out? Like, why can't I just like live my life and like love who I love? And like, that's that. And it's kind of reminded me of, you know, what Meredith Marks has always said about Brooks. She's like, it is what it is. Like, he doesn't need to say anything. Like, we're just, we love him, and he's gonna love who he loves, like, you know.
Yeah, especially for Lake, where it's like, where if she were to have this like big Glee-esque coming out, where it's like a big moment, you know, like mm-hmm. that's just gonna cause problems with her and her family, you know what I mean?
Right.
So if she wants to do it this way because she knows that it would just cause less friction, then like, let her do that, you know.
Yeah.
So but yeah, I just loved them as a new additions. Like, I mean Molly, Michaels, and Lake, and even that guy Austin, who like we didn't get to know super well, like they all were some of the people who brought up the big things in group
totally. Group,
especially in Vegas, like they were the ones that dropped the bombs, because I guess they have less to lose. But like, they were like I guess I'm here.
Yeah, they were ready. And Austin like doesn't seem to think two steps ahead of anything he does. So for him to be like, someone told me this, that goes to, it's like your girlfriend's brother definitely
told
you this.
Yeah, like, come on, like, it's not that hard to connect to the DOS, babe.
No, and it's crazy. It was so funny to me that he thought like no one would figure it out.
Right. Before we get to Will and Emmy, the last sort of big thing I think that came up at the end of the season was this whole Grace, Lily, and Maddie thing, which kind of came to a head in Vegas when Grace, Lily, you know, didn't really show up on time for Maddie's event.
For popping it and dropping it,
bop of the year. And mm-hmm. she just like didn't really understand like it was problematic that she showed up 2 minutes before she was supposed to hit the stage, missed the sound check. And around that time, I talked to Mia and Molly in an interview, and like they like just don't like her, Grace Lily, as a person. And like, it hammered home for me this idea that's like, she's an amazing reality star. Like, I'm obsessed with watching her. I could watch her sit in her bed for 12 hours. Like, I could just, like, I could watch her do anything. Like, she's
do
just
anything.
Like, yeah. But she's not a good friend. And she's very self-involved. And that is just, you know, two realities that have to coexist for us in our heads as viewers.
Yes.
You know?
It's like, she's amazing TV, like you said, but she'd probably be really, really hard to be around. I feel that way about Sutton.
Okay.
Like, I really like watching Sutton, but I would have a hard time like being around her. You know what I mean? So she's just great to watch. And also, because Mia is so like, I feel very like based in reality. Like, she's messy for sure, but she is like very real to me. I think someone like Grace Lily, who's very like ethereal and like talking about Bob Marley,
wavy baby
and like doing this in your like the hand thing in your face, like She's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, this is crazy.
That's a very natural friction to have, which is yeah, Mia based in reality with facts and Grace Lily yes, being like, whatever, dude. Like,
yeah, that's just... I have a OLG, what is it? OGL line, original Grace Lily.
Oh my God.
Her Burning Man attire.
Yes.
Festival attire. Yeah. Coming soon.
What'd she say? Like at the reunion, I was like, my dream is to have, it was to have the, I forget what it was. She had some really good one-liners at that reunion, honestly, where she said she sounded like Amy Winehouse, which is like, I'm like,
oh my God.
Put it on the track.
I've scissored a woman.
I've scissored a woman. Yes. Uh-huh.
I've scissored like, a woman.
She just has these throwaway lines that are just, and I think also part of it for me is like, the first half of the season, we barely got any Grace Lily. Like, we had that one season, that one scene where her and Maddie met up at the park and we heard about her come to Jesus moment. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we pretty much got none of her. And like, I wish they would just like, every episode, at least give us one, literally 1 minute of Grace at her house. That's all. Like,
just give us something.
Like, meanwhile, you know, like, meanwhile at Grace Lily's house, she's building a birdhouse or she's doing an interpretive dance or like doing something.
Yeah,
you know?
She definitely hula hoops.
Definitely hula hoops in her driveway and like sleeps till 1 p.m. But like, I'd love to just get a little check in every episode.
I would love
not
that.
Working there. I also felt like, because she obviously doesn't work at a Republic, I felt like at the reunion when they asked Leva about why she didn't work there, I kind of feel like there was an opening for her to be brought back. And that would be, that would tee up season 4 nicely for her to come back into Republic and then for her and Maddie's tension to like, kind of take center stage.
Yeah, they have some tension there. It's, I did like that Grace Lily was sticking up for Maddie when, I mean, we'll get into the whole Emmy, you know, Will thing, but that was nice. Grace Lily just has no alliances to anyone, like she's except herself and her yelling in Maddie's face. First of all, her bringing Oisin.
Yeah, let's get into the Oisin thing. So she fucked Oisin, who was, I guess, fucking Maddie's.
And she said she only fucked him
roommate
once.
Eva. Yeah, but then she shows up to the finale party with Oisin after telling Maddie, you know what, like, let's move forward. Like, I'm done with the bullshit. So pro reality star move, terrible friend move.
Okay, when I saw them coming up the steps, I was like, that's not who I think it is. And then the title card went and I was like, oh, she really did. Like, she really brought him.
She did that.
I was like,
she
that's horrible. Because she, like you said, just had this conversation with Maddie. Also, she had cat makeup on during that conversation, which is like my favorite thing in Bravo when they fight in costume. In ridiculous outfits. So, yeah, she had cat makeup on and I just couldn't fucking believe it. I was like, God damn it, Grace Lily.
And like, again, I love the instinct. I love the whichever producer told her to do it and she did it. Like, love that. But like, it wasn't really followed up with like the correct behavior or like run of something went awry because like Maddie did bring that girl Eva over, but then she sort of scurried away right away. So we never like, and then Grace accuses Maddie of giving Oisin a blowjob when they were in Tulum. They always mentioned Tulum. Like, whatever happened in Tulum during the pandemic with them is really wild.
I need to know.
But, like, we never got a full, like, Oisin, did this happen thing? Because
he also never denied it.
It got, that's what I'm saying. But, like, he was just sort of standing there. Like, I needed the, it was almost too chaotic. Like, we didn't get actual answers.
I know. It was so chaotic and I feel like it came and went. Like it was like it came in really hot and then we were done with that. And I was like, whoa, what is going on here? I also felt like we had been in this house before.
It felt familiar.
The street felt familiar. I was like, have we been here before? It felt that one house when Catherine and Ashley got into that fight outside when she was like, you're not a mother.
It did. It does.
It felt like that.
It's giving that. And
that house is haunted.
It's historic in many different ways, clearly. we saw Emmy and Will getting there early, and like the guy who let them use his house, if he's like letting them film at their house, I bet you that like he's let Southern Charm film there before. Like, I'm sure.
He's a doctor. His name is Dr. Something. I was like, who is he?
Okay. Thank you for your services, doctor, in many ways.
I'm sure he's signed off.
All right. The reason why we're all here.
The reason for the season.
Will and Emmy. So obviously we had the whole bathroom thing last year where he like went into a bathroom with some girl at some after party or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that like I kind of doubted they were like having sex in the bathroom. There was also something about like maybe they had both like lost a common friend or something. So maybe they were like commiserating together. Like, I don't know. It felt like the cast wanted there to have been something that happened, but there was no proof that something had really happened in that bathroom. Mm-hmm. They could have also been doing something else in that bathroom. So like, who knows, right?
Yeah, but, street style.
But with him, the story is less about like, for me, it's less about like the specific instances and more like this buildup of him constantly putting himself in these like really questionable situations. Questionable at best, right? Like, if you want to believe him every single time that nothing's happened, then that's your prerogative. But either way, the optics of it, especially when you're like on reality TV, you have to know what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. And so there's this buildup of like people saying, where there's smoke, there's fire, where there's smoke, there's fire. And then ultimately, he's putting Emmy in the situation of having to defend it and having to provide the answers because he doesn't show up to defend himself. And that's like, to me, the real issue here, right?
Yeah, there's so many layers to this. There's so many layers. Like, I also just don't feel like,
We're getting into it.
Where to begin? My head is like spinning with ideas. The thing about Will is I don't think anyone likes him. Like, I don't think the guys like him. I think he's a prick. I think he's a know-it-all, like just kind of an asshole is the vibe that I'm getting. And I think the cast really likes Emmy. Like,
yeah,
there was a moment really that I keep going back to, and I don't know why, but she's dressed as a hot dog for Sir Wiener's opening.
Yes.
And I was like, that's a fun girl. Like, that's a girl that's a good time. But then with Will, she has to be this, like, lawyer's wife kind of, you know, he kind of, like, puts her down a bit. Like, he brings her down a peg.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like the cast likes her, and they're like, okay, he fucked that girl in the bathroom. She'll break up with him. Okay, he talked bad about her, she'll break up with him. Like, they're just trying to get her to break up with him.
Yeah, for sure.
And all that's doing is pushing her closer to him. But that's, like, such an early 20s thing to happen. Like, you think telling your best friend that her boyfriend is horrible will be, like, she'll be like, you're right, and break up, and they don't.
No.
And then you're not friends anymore.
Right. Yeah, it's become less get him out of the picture, but it's become more them against the world. They're this like
giving Tom and Kristen.
Literally, it's them. It's this unbreakable duo. They're star-crossed lovers, you know. Like, and I agree. Like, I think that like they have really good memories with Emmy, and they know what who she is. Like, because at the core, like, she's not a bad person. Like, she's not like any of that. She just is sort of like
delusional,
locked into this situation, a little delulu. Yeah. She is just like a little bit in denial. I think part of it is also just sort of like putting her stake in the ground and like not wavering.
She's 10 toes down.
Totally. And like at a certain point, does it become just sort of like it's her prerogative to stay with him at the end of the day, if like despite all the smoke, you know? And like,
yeah.
And we'll get more into it, but like it's been so good all season in terms of TV, but it's sort of like at a certain point as a group, like you gotta just like let the mouse go, in the words of Soundtrack, you know?
I think that they will maybe this season, like season four.
Yeah.
The way that he talks about her is crazy. The way that he talked about getting married on the golf course. I have to say, I don't like what Bradley did with this whole like Trevor situation. But him and Joe, I think it's because they're like Gen Z or something. They don't really scream like super toxic.
No, they don't.
Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. Like, they're not super toxic.
Because they were literally like, this is not the vibe. Like, how he's talking about Emmy, how he's talking about getting engaged and, like, she deserves that. Like, you know, she can cook and clean and do my laundry. Like, ew.
Right.
We would never see that on Vanderpump Rules. Like, ever. Jax would be like, she's not sucking your dick, dude. Like, end it. Like, it would be more about that rather than about Emmy, you know? So I also just think Will is like, he's so like smarmy. He's almost like Disney villain, like, you know, evil prince. Like, that's how he's like giving, like, that's the energy he gives me. Like, I'm too smart for all of you.
Yeah, it's like I'm going to law school and like you guys are still working at the bar. That's like
he's giving Warner Legally Blonde.
Very that. And like it's kind of like you know, what did a New York Tiffany Pollard say about Gemma Collins? Somebody lied to her several times. You know what I mean? Like somebody has built him up, you know, somebody has built his ego up and like, yeah. He's there. And like, Emmy's probably one of those people who has built it up, you know? And like,
yeah, he's looking for his Vivian.
Looking for his Vivian. Yeah, she's the, mm-hmm. exactly. She's the Marilyn. He needs the Jackie. Mm-hmm. And also this whole thing started with him literally going around Charleston at Republic, talking shit about her on multiple occasions. And was that on the reunion where they were basically like, one of the theories that he wanted to break up with her around that time? And so he was sort of like self-sabotaging by like doing this. Was that on the reunion, mm-hmm. they were talking about that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, do you believe that theory?
I feel like there is some truth to it. I think with him, like, he doesn't want to be the one to end it with her. So he's like, okay, maybe if I talk shit about her,
right.
gets back to her, she'll end it with me. You know, I don't know. He said some really nasty things.
Some really nasty things. And like, there's clearly some stuff going on with her too, in terms of like,
right.
I think whatever. But like, for him to not be just like a supportive person or like maybe deal with that in private, you know, and to like air that out and drunkenly to all the people that know them is just sort of yeah. like so, it just feels like they're, this season it was this hamster wheel of like he wasn't around, and so like they would have brought stuff up to him if he was around more, but he wasn't, mm-hmm. so then he would come around for the big group events and that's where they would bring stuff up, and then they would get mad at them for bringing stuff up in a big group setting and not bringing it to them privately, but like they aren't available to bring things to privately, so it's yeah. sort of like that was felt like the hamster wheel we're on all season. And like also the editors, they'd kind of awesome. Always like, God bless them, they always sort of like derailed Emmy's story that she was telling in terms of like, they never brought it to me, but like Michael's brought it to her, or like they never ask how I'm feeling, they ask how she's feeling, and like
they're like worried about her, yeah. you know what I mean? It's concerning the way she's like acting, the way she like gets so angry, and just like, I've never seen anger like that, and I love an angry woman, like I love when girls get angry, but her, it's like she like shakes, like her body like tenses up. It's like roid rage.
I mean, and listen, like there, we did get some iconic moments out of it. The mascara.
Oh, the mascara.
I mean,
the mascara was unreal. I was obsessed.
I saw somewhere this week that people think that it might have, that somebody on the SNL writing staff watched Southern Hospitality, because on Lady Gaga's episode, there was the commercial with the mascara that you wear that you want to run. And mm-hmm. somebody was like, that's the most recent iconic mascara running moment.
They so definitely like, do.
Come on. And that screenshot was everywhere. So
everywhere. It was everywhere. Better than the Erica mascara crying thing.
It
was happened.
Oh, much better. Much mm-hmm. better. Because it was like camp,
it was
like
iconic.
It was great.
No, it really was.
And then obviously we mentioned this whole thing with Austin's girlfriend's brother, who like brought up the stuff about Will at law school having a girlfriend or bringing somebody else to prom, and then a girl was living with him. I kind of believe the story that they said on the reunion, that was just sort of like, no, like he was out of town and he let somebody crash at his apartment. Like, I think that's probably the explanation there, right?
Yeah. But it's like you said, he's putting himself in these situations yes. that are, they look really bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't look good. And like Mia did say, though, she's like, Will is like the most unfriendly person, and he's like offering this girl his apartment. Like, that's right. kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. It's like, and
it's again, definitely weird.
If it was one off things, if it was like, oh, like he has this like study buddy at law school, like he is always in library mm-hmm. with, whatever. But then he has the person staying with him, and then he brings somebody else to law prom, and then he. Mm-hmm. It's just,
it's Will.
It
Will,
builds
Will.
Up. It builds up. And then he's out here on the boat telling Emmy, I want to marry somebody like you one day.
Listen.
Listen.
There are going to be moments when they break up where she thinks back on the things that he said to her. And she's like, wow, how did I not fucking see that? Like, I look back on a moment with this guy that I dated briefly. He said to me, he's like, I always dreamed that I'd meet my wife in Trader Joe's. And I just like looked at him and I was like, LOL, uh-huh. like, okay. And then okay. now, like, and then we stopped talking and I was like, ooh, like,
yeah.
yeah. Wake up.
Wake
Get up.
Up,
bitch.
Yeah.
For real.
Wake up. And then they pull this thing. We talked about sort of the nature of it and how it affected Maddie, but like, we didn't talk about them bringing the text to Joe and Maddie the night before the reunion from their perspective. It's like, that was so calculated and so. like, I don't know if they were trying to like shift focus so that the next day could be all about that, or if they could get Maddie and Joe in their corner so that like when it came to the Emmy discussion topic, they would defend them more. I don't know what the sort of goal was, but either way, that shit is suspicious as fuck.
Suspicious. And I'm glad, I forget who it was who called it out. I think it was Mia and Michaels, but they were like, you're a pawn in their little game.
Yes.
And for Will not to show up, he was there, but he didn't
backstage.
Go out is so lame. It always reminds me, like, whenever a guy on these shows does something like that, like they don't show up and like support their girl on the show, it always reminds me of Portia's first season, I think, when Cordell didn't come out and Peter got really upset and he was like, you know, like, he should be here for you. It always reminds me of that because it's just a shitty thing to do. This girl is literally breaking down and defending you constantly.
She's shaking, crying. And
she's that Jesus meme with the soldier on the ground. Like, that's her.
So literally, and it's also like, again, I think he should have shown up to begin with. If he's going to be in town at the fucking studio for it, show up, go on set.
Yeah, Michael Darby went out there.
But even if that was your plan, even if you were like, you know what, like, my mental health, like, I can't do this. He is sitting backstage watching a live feed of it filming. And he's just sitting there watching his girlfriend shaking, crying. I'm sorry, a good boyfriend would have thrown on a blazer, even not, just walked out. That's a very small studio. It's a 10-foot walk. Go out there. And that would have been a moment. It would have, he would have been like, you know,
the hero.
The hero, quote unquote, for some people, maybe.
Yeah, like, it for some people.
It would have been a valiant effort in some ways. And like, it's one thing for him to have decided ahead of time that, but for him to like sit through that and watch her suffer that whole time and answer for his misdeeds is just like beyond shitty.
Misdeeds. I love that. Okay. Okay,
okay,
Michigan.
SAT word.
Yeah. Okay, U of M. No, I felt so bad. Like, I feel bad for her on some level.
Me too.
You know
me
what
too.
I mean?
Me too.
Because like with Kristen and Tom, Kristen was also doing terrible things, you know? So it's like these two are just like clowns. Emmy seems to be like a good person who's like not cheating on him. And, you know, I don't know. So I just feel bad for her. And
I know
Maddie's crying face was on like
something. That was intense.
It was so intense. And it, like the camera kept getting like really close.
And she also went in, she was like, I don't feel well. So I think that added to like the whole like it was, I didn't like seeing her cry on that.
Didn't like seeing her cry like that. It really upset me.
And I think for the cast, honestly, when it comes to Emmy, because I think Emmy, because you also think about it, it's like, why are you still putting yourself through this on the show? She wants to be on the show. She wants to be a star.
Totally.
She wants to be famous. And like, that's not a knock on her. Like all these people do. But like at a certain point though, I do think that, like, because I'm guessing Will won't be really on the show next season. He's clearly, like, out.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes everybody sort of against one. It becomes kicking her while she's down. It becomes something where, like, the audience actually might
swing the other way.
Not switch teams, but, like, kind of back her up a little bit. Sort of, like, give it a rest. You know what I mean? It's kind of, again, to bring up Sutton, it's sort of like TJ and Bradley, love them, but they've been doing a lot of digging on other people. Do you know what I mean? And so like, it's kind of what Sutton does. And she's finally having her moment of like being held accountable for digging other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pendulum is going to swing back to them next season. I think that
it
Emmy needs to be able to catch her breath, you know?
A little bit. Yeah. Like just her yelling at Lake, like, shut the fuck up. Like, God, it was great. It was a great reunion. Like you said, when we first started, I wish that it was like not in the clubhouse.
Me too.
And maybe two parts, because I do think that there was so much to get into. Also, I want to know your thoughts on like Austin's issue with Mia, because it's very weird. Like his hatred for her is odd.
Do you think they've like hooked up before or something?
He probably tried and she like dismissed.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Are so disgusting. He has a Simba tat.
Does he? I didn't see that.
You know, like when that monkey like draws the Simba on the tree? He has that on his chest.
Oh, no. Oh,
and then
no.
A compass on his back, a big compass.
Oh.
His whole back is a compass.
And he's out here running barefoot for 5 miles. And I'm like,
it's upsetting.
It's also like he said when he was talking about his girlfriend and like getting back with her, he just kind of casually said, yeah, he was like, oh yeah, but her family's not talking to me.
Yeah, he's like, her family hates me. Doesn't want us to be together.
Let's ask why, you know?
No, are they still together? I don't follow him or anything.
No, I don't follow him either. I feel like on the reunion, he said that... I feel like it maybe wasn't a great update for him on the reunion.
Yeah.
In that field.
But Bradley has a girlfriend.
Bradley has a girlfriend now. Yeah. Yes. Michaels is dating that guy Preston. We saw him with. I don't know if Lake's with that girl that we saw on the show. And I think TJ is still single. So yeah, there's a lot. I don't know. There's just like a lot of stuff that I've liked followed up on for next season.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
The last sort of element on the show that I think actually, and I love Leva, but I think that like the way that the show has been marketed to like have her kind of be sort of central to the show, because it's sort of like her Vanderpump Rules and she's Elisa Vanderpump. She's really not that much of a factor on this show. And I don't even mean that in a shady, I don't mean that in a shady way. Like she's just I don't think she wants to be on the show that much. I think she kind of pops in, gives them some advice here and there, but like, for people who are like Leva haters, and again, I am very much not a Leva hater, she shouldn't be a blockage to get into Southern Hospitality, because like she's really a background character here.
And there's something about it, like with Lisa Vanderpump on like Vanderpump Rules and everything, she seemed like such a maternal figure that like when she did talk to the kid, like the kids, they're like 30.
The kids.
It felt like very warm and like she was really helping them through life. With Leva, I feel she's so young.
She's in between those two roles.
Like in this, right. And so I don't have a problem with Leva. Like, I know she's so polarizing and I don't get it either. To be completely honest with you. I feel like she doesn't really do much. So there's nothing to even be upset about.
I think it's literally like an after effect of the season that she came into Southern Charm on, where they tried to make it about Black Lives Matter. And like, they tried to like diversify the show. And I think a lot of people feel like some type of way about that. I think that they thought that it sort of put the show on a different path. That's sort of my ultimate.
Well, the show needed to be on a different path.
I completely agree. I think that there's a
they were filming on plantations.
There's a cohort of people that sort of blame her for the ousting of Catherine and blame her for sort of like some of these other people leaving the show. That's sort of how
that makes sense. Like that, you know, that's maybe why people feel that way. But it's like 5 years ago.
Like,
people need to move on. Give it up.
Yeah, give it up. Uh-huh.
But she also seems genuinely really busy. Like, she's opening new restaurants left and fucking right.
Like, she's like eight restaurants now.
She cannot be bothered.
I know. Totally.
With these clowns.
She's barely on Southern Charm.
Yeah. She's like, I'm busy.
Right.
With Republic.
She's like, literally running a business.
The slushies shop. And then there's...
Okay. I really want to go to the slushie shop. That's like kind of a genius idea.
So
there's like, it's like a Froyo place, but with alcoholic slushies. And I'm like, bring it on.
It's perfect for Charleston.
Oh my God.
Like that's because it's bachelorette. Like,
no, it's genius.
Capital of the world.
Yeah. Fill up that cup and walk down King Street, babe.
Have you ever been there?
I went there last year. My sister's bachelorette was just a little siblings trip. So it was just four of us. It was really cute. And we went to Sewing Down South. We went to Republic. I went to Lamar's for brunch. Leva hooked it up on the brunch. Uh-huh. And then we hung out with Leva. It was the Real Moms of Bravo were in Charleston at the same time. Hung out with Leva. Joe Bradley was working at Republic that Sunday. So he was like...
The work in the door?
He was being Joey Bottles. Yep.
Joey Bottles.
I got part of the experience, I have to say.
Oh, I love that. I love that you did that with your family. You guys are so cute.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, honestly, the sibling, we'd never done a sibling trip. And it was really, that's all my sister wanted with her three older brothers. Aww, so isn't that cute?
That's so sweet. I love that. As like an only child, that's like so cute.
Oh, but honestly, Charleston is like, it's a mini Bravo Disneyland if you go on King Street. Like if you go at the right time, Craig was doing a pillow signing at the same time. Just happened to be. Like, it's just sort of like shits. They're all sort of wandering around down there.
Yeah, they're like Mickey and Goofy and...
No,
you know, they're just wandering around Charleston.
Listen, they've replaced that corner in West Hollywood where all the these Vanderpump stuff used to be popping off, you know, and now it's a little bit, it's a little bit like, you know, post peak era over there. So I
How is Tom Tom? Have you checked in?
I haven't checked in. I haven't.
Because I feel like I saw something maybe last summer where she was like putting up the sign pump.
On Tom Tom.
On Tom Tom. On Tom Tom. So I'm just kind of like, what's going on here?
I'm not sure. I should have done a check-in when I was over there. Well, Sam, I feel like we've hit most of the, covered most of our bases for Southern Hospitality.
I think so.
Is there anything that you, mentioned Maddie and Grace Lilly for next season, like kind of getting more into that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you'd want to see in a season four?
Definitely, I want to see more of like Michael's and maybe Michael's friend group and like see the people he knows. I think that that would be really fun because I really liked him. I thought he was funny. I thought he was like nice and normal.
It's like, what's not to love? And
he's
brings
great.
Something to the show, like genuinely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to see more of him. I'd also love to see who Bradley's dating. I want to see what's going on there. And obviously just like the Emmy stuff. Like Emmy just fascinates me.
Listen, and
I can't get enough.
For as much as people can say about her, she was the moment this entire season, and she was the name on everybody's lips.
Do people not like her?
I just think that she gets roped in with Will. You know what I mean?
True.
I think it's hard to separate them because they are, again, this like sort of duo against the world. And it's like, I think if he is not on the show next season, if we barely see anything about him, if they kind of give up like trying to prove that he cheated on her, then like she can stand on her own again in this world and like sort of sanitize the image a little bit, which like I think would it'd be easy for her to do, honestly.
I agree. Because no one likes a gang up on these shows.
Nobody likes a gang up. She has other things to bring to the show. And like ultimately like we forget things very quickly as Bravo viewers. So
please. We forget so much.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well Sam, this has been fabulous.
Thank you so much for having me.
I needed this discussion about this show. I really did. Like it just we had to close it out.
We had to debrief.
We did. When and where can people listen to your podcast, Chronically Online?
You can listen to me. I'm 3 days a week over there, Chronically Online at patreon.com/chronicallyonline. Follow me, Bravo Historian. I'm trying to post more on there. Now that you know I'm on Wellbutrin, I'm a new girl.
Love that.
And
for you.
Yeah. Just, you know, just over there.
Slipping. Love that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing this, and I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.